It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're doing a survey as we're closing out the book of Genesis, and we have several weeks now that we have been working on this, but we're in the 20th chapter right now as we move through this chapter and just looking at some of the highlights of the book of Genesis. It is so important that we miss nothing, and so please that you pay close attention as we kind of very quickly, very rapidly go through this book. And while you're looking up the 20th chapter of Genesis, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Now, we're going to read just the first two verses in the 20th chapter, and then we'll begin the study. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, "And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country, and dwelt towards Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned to Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah." Let's begin with prayer. Now, Father, I thank and praise you that we can have God's Word, that we can enjoy your Word. And thank you, dear Father, that we live in a time where we can have this printed Word in our hands. Please do not let us abuse it. Do not let us ignore it, but spend much time enjoying it and studying it and searching it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we may know your way and will. We know, first of all, dear Father, that we must be born again. And so please, that all come to the cross of Calvary, where their sins have been forgiven. We know that only the Spirit of God, as He deals with the heart of man, that will bring man to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brings us and shows us two things. First, our sin. And we come and confess it, and fall on our face before a living God and come to Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into our heart and to save us. He is faithful to do just that. He will save you. He will keep you. What a wonderful gift we can have. The most wonderful gift ever that can be given is the gift of salvation, and only our God can give that to us. And so I hope that you have come by faith to Jesus Christ. Please, please don't miss that. It's just so important, dear Father, that all hear that gospel and all come to not only know you as their Savior, but also then grow. And that's what we're doing right now as well. Now, I ask that you just guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this scripture verse here in the 20th chapter, I shared with you last time we were together that the time of life was restored unto Sarah. And so as that time of life was given back to her, it has the appearance now that not only was her ability to give birth to children given back to her, but also her looks were there. Whether they were kept all along or whether she had been restored back to her youth, because here goes Abraham into this area of Gerar, and the valley of Gerar is down around Beersheba and between Gaza and Beersheba in that area there, just kind of to the south end of the land of Philistines. And so he didn't go as far, you know, that's not near to Egypt, but it is a distance there. And as we find that we have him going back out of his kind of land and having this opportunity now to, why he journeyed, we don't know, but having this opportunity to show God's power, God's strength in his life. Instead of that, he turns to Sarah and he says, "Now, you say that you're my sister." Now, understand, Abraham here is 99 years old. Sarah is 89 years old. You know, what king that could possess any woman of the land, and that's the way it was at that time, could have possessed any woman of the land at that time, and yet Abraham feared that if the king knew that that was his wife, that they would kill Abraham to get Sarah. That was his fear. Undoubtedly, Sarah was a very, very beautiful woman. And it was true. What happened? The king, now knowing it's his sister, saved Abraham's neck, but put Sarah, Abraham, and the king in great danger. And so it comes to light here in a short period of time that it's made known unto this king, Abimelech, that this is not Sarah, Abram's sister. This is Sarah, Abram's wife. Now, it is his, half-sister. If you'll look through to see who Sarah belonged to, there is a very close family tie here. But it doesn't make any difference. Abraham lied, and it got everybody in a lot of trouble. Abimelech here in the 14th verse took sheep and oxen and manservants and woman servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored Sarah his wife. Abraham said, "Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee." And unto Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant, and they bare children. You see, that's what happened, because when this took place, when this lie was there and he wanted to go in to Sarah, all of a sudden God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffer I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things to their ears, and the men were so afraid. And then Abimelech called Abraham, and he said, "Why did you do this?" You know, and so it's so sad that Abraham just wasn't trusting in God. But even Abraham, the father of our faith, even Abraham can make those kinds of mistakes, and he sure did. Everybody was restored. Everything was back to normal, other than this chastisement that came from this Gentile. And that's a sad statement, that it has to come from the world instead of Abraham recognizing that. And then we come to the beautiful chapter of chapter 21, a chapter that they have been waiting on, the area of this chapter. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, "God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast that same day that Isaac was weaned. Oh, what a wonderful story. Finally, it was fulfilled. We went through Hagar, and we had 13 years of quiet time there that God didn't speak to Abraham. He came back and gave him the promise again. And then we find him going down to this land of Gerar, where King Abimelech was at, lying and doing that. God comes right back and restores it again, and he fulfills that promise. Remember, I told you that there are times that it's when God makes a statement, that it is a statement that is conditional. And there are times that the statement is not of conditions. And here was one where he promised that he would give him a son. That was a promise that was not conditional. It was a promise that was going to happen, and it did, even though Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100 years old. And we find that Sarah's body completely worked. She was able to care, to feed everything, this child, as she was had the appearance of probably a 20 or 30 year old. And so now we find that the child is weaned and they throw this big party. All right. If you think everything with Hagar and Ishmael is out of the road, we find very quickly Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous to Abraham's sight because of his son. Now remember that this young man is well over 13 years old. And now that Isaac has been weaned, we know that we're probably into 15, 16 years old. In that range is the age of this Hagar's son Ishmael. Ishmael was making fun of Isaac and of what was going on, of the whole thing, and it made Sarah mad, and so she told her husband, Abraham, get him out of here. I want him out of my sight. I want him away from here. And, you know, as things continue to progress here, we find that just this statement and just this idea of doing this made Abraham very angry. It didn't make him angry. It grieved him. He loved this young man. You see, he was old enough to begin to do things, even though Abraham was now 100-plus years old. He still now had this son, Ishmael, that was 15, 16 years old. What a wonderful that Isaac was still just a baby. He was still at his mother's arms and couldn't really do anything with Abraham. And so he was grieved that he was going to have to deal with this, but he did. He sent them away. And I don't know if you remember the story as they were sent away, and then Hagar takes him a distance away, and she leaves thinking that both of them are going to die. And God once again comes back and reminds of that promise that's going to come to even Ishmael and the Arab nation. And so that is given unto them and cast right on forth for them to see and to understand. But in doing so, you know, you get the picture that Ishmael's a child. He's not a child. He's a young adult at this time. But all this has taken place, and it is moved on, and it came to pass that at that time that Abimelech and Philschool, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my sons, nor with my sons' sons, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, shalt thou do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham removed Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. It's sad that as this continues to happen, you know, with he's down in Beersheba. Remember when he went down south? And all these things take place, and yet there is a problem between this Abimelech and this Philschool, the chief captain of the hosts. And we find that there is a dealing over the servants. Remember one thing that Isaac was is going to be known to drill wells. Every place he goes, he drills a well. And Abraham did much the same thing. You had to drill a well. You dug a well. Abimelech said, I was not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs in the flock by themselves. Abimelech said unto Abraham, What meanest these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? He said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called the place Beersheba, because there they swore both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phil-Shul, the chief captain of his hosts, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Remember, I told you when he went down south the first time here with Abimelech that it was right next door to the lands of the Philistines. We come now as Abraham continues to grow. His faith becomes stronger and stronger, and we find the highest point in Abraham's life is right here in chapter 22. We've walked through each one of these chapters, and I'm sure not getting along very quickly. We'll move a little faster when we get past Abraham here, but right now I want you to see what's taking place in chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. And we're going to stop right there for just a few minutes, because you can't miss the picture here. This is the climax in Abraham's life. This is his highest point of faith. To take, he has been promised, think about this, he has been promised to have a population equal to the stars of the sky or the sand of the sea, equal to that population. He has been promised that, yet to this point, he is well over 100. I believe him to be around 133. 133 years old. His son Isaac, I believe to be in the area of 33 years old. Now you think about that number when I'm saying that, because how old was the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross of Calvary? He was 33. Abraham, father, was to bring the son to be offered. Now you think about that. That's exactly what God the Father did for us. He brought his son and gave him as an offering for us. And that was about to take place here with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was very alert to the will of God, different than the time before, a couple times back here, where he lied about his wife being his sister. We find that that's there. That's the way our life is. One minute we're just as high as can be and close to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next minute we're down at the bottom. We're not believing a thing that he says. We're not following after him. We're not trusting him. And then God has to bring us back. And we find here that Abraham is listening ever so closely, because I have it underlined several things in here. The first thing I have is, Here I am, Abraham said when God called his name. Here I am. The announcement was click. Take now thy son, thine only son. What does God say, God the Father say about Jesus Christ? The only begotten son, my only begotten son. And look at the place where they come. They come to Moriah. Now, Mount Moriah is the mountain range where there are many things located. One, for instance, is the temple, David's temple. Solomon's temple was built up on Mount Moriah, up on that mount. There are several. It's a range right there. Do we know about the exact spot? No, we don't. Something else takes place in that same range, and that is Golgotha, the place of the skull where Jesus Christ was crucified. Isn't it something, Hal, that they traveled to this place? How many days did they travel? They traveled 3 days. Jesus Christ was in the grave 3 days before he rose again. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's what's given us victory. That precious blood of his is our salvation through our Son, Jesus Christ, through his Son, God's Son. So please, that we don't miss the way of salvation. Don't miss the opportunity to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 days. 3 days, Abraham. In Abraham's mind, his son was dead. God said, you will offer him up. You will take him and you'll offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. It is always God's plan. Always. It's always God's plan. And so, and you notice it's always the shedding of blood. Always has to be death of the sacrifice. It's always got to be God's way. Please, that you don't miss any of the requirements. It's God's doing. It's God's plan. This was God's plan. God said, you take your son, you offer him up. They traveled for 3 days. In 3 days, they got to the bottom of that hill. God said, this is it. At that time, Abraham told the young men to stay. Because you see what happens when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. Right before his death, the sin was placed upon him. Do you remember that? Sin was, of all the world, was placed upon him. And at that time, darkness came upon the earth. No one could look upon what was to happen to the Son of God. And you see, it's the same thing here. There was nobody, God the Father and God the Son. That's the only two that was going, Abraham and Isaac, as the picture that we have here. And so the third day, for 3 days in Abraham's mind, this young man, his son, was dead. Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We will come again. Look at that. He was to offer up his son, and yet he said, we will come again. What faith Abraham had. I believe he believed that God was going to raise up his son Isaac. I believe he thought he was going to have to put him to death. But God would raise him again. We will come back. He never questioned that. Abraham took the wood, okay, in verse 6, this is the 22nd chapter, and the burnt offering, laid it up on Isaac his son, and he took the knife in his hand, and a knife, and they both went, both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? You see, Abraham taught Isaac about offering a sacrifice. He didn't say, where's the grain? He said, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went, both together. He said right there clearly that God, he will be that sacrificial lamb. He will supply. In this case, we know that it turns out to be a ram in the thicket. Because, you see, Isaac couldn't die. God was testing. It says tempting. Testing is a word. He was testing Abraham. He was also testing Isaac. Do you notice that Isaac was obedient? And we come now to verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How did Abraham get Isaac up on that wood? The only way that you could get Isaac up on that offering, that place of offering, the only way you could do that is if Isaac agreed. If Isaac was in total agreement with the father. Abraham is 133 years old, Isaac's 33 years old. Who do you think is stronger? The son could have come down off of there at any point in time and says, Dad, you're crazy. I'm not going to do this. But he didn't. He followed. His faith was as strong as what Abraham's was. He followed the will of his father. What did Jesus Christ do? All the way to Calvary, all the way to the cross, he followed the will of his father. What a beautiful picture that we have here. And now we find that the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Remember, Abraham, this is the highest place. He was listening, carefully listening. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, for me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Oh, what a wonderful promise. And then it comes back again. And he says, I myself have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, what a wonderful promise is given unto Abraham and unto Isaac because of Abraham's faithfulness. Do you notice, once again, Isaac couldn't be offered up. Isaac wasn't perfect. But he took, and so even in this picture, we need a substitute. Well, we need a substitute. We cannot do anything about our sin. We can't do one thing about it. The only thing we can do is continue to sin. But if we want to take it away, we have to come by faith to Jesus Christ. And I hope you do that today. Please, that you listen carefully and prayerfully to this word that we've been proclaiming. And it's been so exciting to go through this. We have the birth of Isaac. We have the offering of Isaac. We have now in chapter 23, the death of Sarah. What a sad day. What a sad day to have this take place. But you see, death is certain to each one of us. The only one of us, ones of us, that's not going to have to face the grave, death and the grave, is if Jesus Christ would come. And he is going to come. He may come today, he may come tomorrow, he may come next month, but he's going to come, he's going to come soon, because everything is in place. Now, I know there's been preachers forever that's been proclaiming that, and you says he's never going to come. Well, he is going to come upon his time and his day. And we find ourselves now upon the death of Sarah, and Abraham purchases a place to bury Sarah. Abraham owns no land, but he purchases this burial place and he buries Sarah there. And now we find in chapter 24, Isaac's bride, the coming after Isaac. Now, again, we get Isaac taken care of, the birth of Jacob, and we're going to move quite a bit faster through the rest of this. I did not want you to miss. It's been a long time since we've went through Abraham and the offering of Isaac and all those things, and I didn't want you to miss any of that. And so we're taking our time. We're going to go and begin at chapter 24 the next time we come together. My dear friend, it's a wonderful opportunity we have in studying the Word of God. Please, that you don't miss this overview of Genesis. And I hope that's reminding you of some wonderful things that you've learned as we studied it the first time. But please, please do not miss Jesus Christ. You know, it's so important to walk and to enjoy the fellowship with the Lord, but you cannot do either one until you come by faith to Jesus Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?